of Yashima is a free online novel that you can read right now at taleofyashima.com. Tale of Yashima, Chapter 2, Saika. My lord, Kage Saika bowed deeply to the man before her. He continued to stare out the window, not bothering to turn around at the sound of her voice. Kuroda Mitsuhide, one of the most ruthless daimyo this side of Yashima. A man who committed horrific acts on the battlefield with glee, and had a reputation for maiming and torturing even his own men if they displeased him. Rumors of his acts of defilement both on and off the battlefield traveled far. It was the reason she found herself in his employ in the first place. A reputation like Kuroda's traveled fast. What is it? I have news. He showed no sign of movement. Regarding the Yashiro. He turned to face her. She knew that would do it. Well, I don't have all day. Speak. Yes, my lord. We have received word that Yashiro plans to marry his daughter to the son of Itami Akihito in exchange for their long-term friendship and support. Mitsuhide snorted. A smart decision, yes, and not one I didn't see coming. It won't be long until the other clans hear of this, I suppose. The Yashiro were a small clan with a large history, but until now had been rather harmless. Ryobe was showing his first signs of growing ambition, of strengthening his clan against those that surrounded him. With support and larger numbers, they could become a force to be reckoned with. Very few clans remained that could prove their familial ties to the emperor, but the Yashiro were one of them. Even in this day and age, that stood for something. We can't allow them to get any stronger, Mitsuhide continued, as though reading Saika's thoughts. He's been a thorn in my side for far too long now. Policing my trade through to the capital, raiding our farming villages, stealing our supplies, killing our women. I won't stand for it any longer. They think just because they're the long-distant cousins of the emperor and that they sit on prized lands outside the capital that they can just say and do whatever they want. Times are changing. It's not about what a 300-year-old dead emperor you're related to anymore. It's about power. It's about strength. Saika stood by quietly as Mitsuhide worked himself up. Look at the Wada. A man after my own heart. He worked his way up from nothing. What was he? Some snake seller or something? I don't know. The point is, the man defeated his enemies and took control for himself. And it's the essence of what makes a man that matters. Saika, are you listening to me? The essence. Not who your family was a few hundred years ago. Saika didn't have the heart to remind him that the Kuroda could also trace their lineage to a family that served the emperor many generations ago, and was the entire reason they possessed the expansive lands they now resided on. And don't even get me started on that useless shogun. Why, not even the smaller clans listen to him anymore. Doesn't even have enough money to wipe his ass with a dry leaf. What's he gonna do? Politely plead us to death? Ugh, someone should just kill him and be done with it. This country needs real strength, real power. May the gods above and below help them all if Mitsuhide ever came to rule over all of Yashima. About the Yashiro, my lord. Saika tried to steer Mitsuhide back to the topic at hand. If she let him continue his tirade, he would go on all night, and she had better things to do. What would you like me to do? What? Oh, no. Not just you this time, my dear. Us. I think it's time we take the battle to them. We've been far too patient and far too forgiving of their transgressions. It's time to make this problem go away. Ever since the Yashiro had kidnapped the heir of Bito Noboru in an effort to make him break their alliance with the Kuroda, tensions between the clans had greatly risen. But while tensions were high, full-scale war had thus far been avoided, both sides being too scared to be the first to initiate. It was a land at war, but with war a possibility on all fronts, the daimyo had to be careful in which battles they chose to fight. One wrong move could bring an entire clan and its legacy to its end, much like the unfortunate Saito. I want you to personally visit Bito for me so he understands the importance of what's coming. His assistance will be required, and very shortly. Tell him to gather whatever men he can spare. This is not a small skirmish or spring campaign. This is war. We're going to wipe the Yashiro out. Every single last one of them. And those who help me, well, they will be greatly rewarded. The threat was unnecessary, but there. Provide warriors as per our alliance, or face the consequences. If Bito hadn't broken his alliance for his own daughter and heir, Saika didn't think he would do so now. But Mitsuhide wasn't known for subtleties. I'll also need you to gather what information you can about the Yashiro forces. I need to know where they are, what they're doing, how many of them there are, who are their commanders, everything. Yes, my lord. And one more thing. Yes? See if we can't send a little wedding gift for Itami's soon-to-be blushing bride. Nothing too fancy. But something lasting, full of impression. His grin could almost be considered feral. Of course, my lord. Saika knew very little of Ryobe's daughter, but she still felt a little sad for her. It was an unfortunate situation, and Saika wasn't fond of killing other women. But even that was the nature of war. People died so others could live. Good people died, bad people died, important people died, and often those simply caught in the crosshairs also died. Still, she had a job to do, and while she would be too busy to handle this one herself, she'd find someone to make sure it was done. Personally, Saika was excited to find out more about the Yashiro. She had yet to meet their leader, Ryobe, but she had heard a lot about his son, So. A young man who towered over his peers, they said. A giant in both stature and mind. A brilliant strategist, the mastermind behind many of his father's plans, and also the muscle. Unlike other commanders, he always led his men directly into battle, finishing off staggering amounts of the enemy before the rest of his forces even caught up. Yes, Saika had been hoping to meet So for quite some time now. Finally, she might get the chance. Perhaps he was the one she was looking for. Is there anything else you would like taken care of before I leave? Mitsuhide had returned to the window. His mood had picked up at the thought of war. He was looking out over the land, smiling. No. Actually, yes. Some of the men have been reporting abnormalities with Mihara Naoto and his wife. Naoto was one of Mitsuhide's generals. Their family had been retainers of the Kuroda for generations. Abnormalities? Yes, the kind you're specialized in. Awkward silence filled the air as Mitsuhide seemed to just expect her to understand what he was trying to say. I'm sorry, I don't... Oh, for the love of... They're saying the wife could be a... Bakeneko. He whispered the last word like it was dirty and distasteful to his delicate senses. Ah, monsters, yokai, the supernatural, that specialty. Do you need her taken care of? Does she need to be taken care of? The real question he was asking was, if we have her killed, will something even worse befall me? For a man that was in his element killing and torturing people for both fun and profit, he was also highly superstitious and terrified of the supernatural. A Bakeneko generally exists for revenge. She might kill a few people, cause a few disturbances, perhaps bring an entire family to ruin, but once she's had her revenge, she'll leave by herself. How can we tell who she's after? Has anyone died yet? No. How do you know there is a Bakeneko? The men said there is. Saika tried not to laugh. I'll look into it. But I would say it's just the tales of jealous men with too much time on their hands. Mihara's wife is a beautiful woman after all, even in her old age. Likely she had rejected the advances of one of her husband's friends, and he had started the rumor himself for revenge. Good, please do. It would be a pity to lose one of my best men right before I have need of his skills and expertise. It was highly unlikely he cared one way or another, but replacing such an experienced general right before going to war would be a hassle he didn't need. Will that be all, my lord? Mitsuhide nodded and shooed her away with his hand. She bowed once more and left the room. Things were about to get a lot more exciting. One of Saika's many skills was that of disguise. Her ability to blend into any populace, find out what she needed to know, and be on her way before anyone realized something was amiss. Before her stood Hirozaka Castle, one of the most southern Yashiro strongholds. Not the most impressive castle she had ever seen, but there was a bustling village at its feet, full of people going about their daily business. Perfect. Looking around, she picked up some dirt and rubbed it into her clothes, her face, even her hair. Not too much, just enough to be effective. She approached a nearby farmer working in his rice field. "Excuse me," she affected the best northern accent she could. The old man looked up at the sound. "Hello, I'm sorry to disturb you. My name is Naoko, and I seem to have lost my way. I'm from the Takamiwa Shrine up in Muon Province, but there was a storm and I was separated from the company I was travelling with. We were heading towards our sister shrine, but I've never been this far south before. I don't suppose you could help me find my way." The Takamiwa Shrine chain was one of the largest in Yashima. The Miko, shrine maidens, often travelled the country visiting other shrines associated with their own. Not even the hardiest of men would risk attacking a Miko and bringing the wrath of the gods down upon them. It was the perfect cover. "Oh dear, are you okay? Come, come inside. You must be hungry. Come, let's get you cleaned up." The old man led her back to his tiny hut, just as she expected he would. It was sparse, a single blanket and straw pillow lying in the corner of the room. A lonely old man. Even better. "You live alone?" she asked casually, as though just making conversation. "Yes, sadly. My wife died a few years ago. Some soldiers stormed through here and, well, she wasn't one of the lucky ones." "I'm terribly sorry to hear that." Saika bowed her head deeply. The man did the same. "Thank you, but sit. I'll get you something to eat. I don't have much, but is rice okay?" "Of course. Rice would be lovely." He set a bowl of rice down in front of her, most likely the leftovers of his own breakfast. "I saw soldiers outside," Saika began as she ate a mouthful of rice. To her pleasant surprise, it actually wasn't bad. The Yashiro did like to boast of their superior tasting rice. Now she could see why. "Are you at war?" The old man sat across from her and gave a small laugh. "We're always at war, my dear. Before the soldiers came, I wanted to take my wife and move somewhere quieter. But where would we go? The entire land is at war." "Yes, I suppose it is." The rice really was fragrant. How did it manage to taste so good? "I'm too old to fight myself anymore. But I've heard the soldiers mention going north soon. I guess there's something going on up there." "Up north?" "Yes. The troops started gathering a few days ago. We've all been busy trying to supply as much rice as we can before they leave." "North. The Wada were north. Interesting. And when is that?" "A few more days, I'd say. Not that it makes much difference to me. But things will get a little quieter, I guess." He smiled. It was a warm smile, despite his weathered appearance. "Anyway, we don't have a Takamiwa shrine here, but I'm sure if you asked one of the lords at the castle, they'd be happy to escort you on your way. A young lady such as yourself shouldn't be traveling alone, especially now." Saika ate another mouthful of the rice, feeling a slight tinge of sadness that it was now finished. Bowed her head and gave thanks. Thank you so much for your kindness. I will not forget your hospitality. The old man stood up and bowed. No, no, it was my pleasure. I don't get to meet many new people these days, let alone beautiful young Mikos. Shall I take you to the castle? No, no, Saika stood up. You've already done more than enough for me. Well, at least let me get you something to clean up. Saika smiled and nodded and was gone before he returned. The castle was even less impressive up close. All utility and no style. However, it sat on valuable high ground overlooking the path below, which was heavily trafficked. Soldiers, peasants, ox-drawn carts, the odd mounted samurai. Saika was unfamiliar with most of the Ashura lands, at least these days, but Hirozaka Castle and its surrounding village were a popular trade spot. That's why she had chosen it. Finding a quiet spot behind the castle, she discarded her dirty Miko garbs and scaled the wall. The castle grounds were oddly quiet, and she faced no opposition on her way into the Lord's Manor. For a clan about to go to war, they had some awful home security. She accosted a serving girl carrying a tray of tea, and within moments found herself in the main room of the manor, several young men seated before a makeshift war table. How many men are we waiting on? The men from Olgawa are due tomorrow, and the men from Harata should be another day or two. Everyone else has either already arrived or is on their way to Ohara. If the men from Harata aren't here tomorrow, they can just catch up. We can't wait any longer. Saika sat the tea down in front of the men and retreated to the corner. The samurai were so engrossed in their conversation, they didn't even notice her. Do we have anything about the Wada army yet? Not yet, but they're not to be underestimated. They destroyed the Saito after all. Too long coming, if you ask me. But Lord So is leading us this time. There's no way we can lose. So was leading the charge? Interesting. Even more reason why we must not underestimate the enemy. We should have more numbers, and with Lord So at our lead, more cunning. But it only takes a change of the wind for it all come crashing down. If we crush the Wada, we'll be better situated to finally deal with the Kuroda. If we lose, well, we must win this. Do you understand? The men at the table bowed their heads. A kabuto emblazoned with an ume flower sat before the young samurai at the head of the table. He was clearly the leader here. An older, more stately looking man entered the room, and the young samurai dismissed his party. Father? Son? The preparations are going well. We should be leaving come morning. Excellent. Try not to kill all my men, hey? I wouldn't dream of it. And bring back some of those Wada heads. Yes, sir. So the old man was sending his son into battle in his stead, which meant he would remain to watch the castle. She quickly memorized his features. Old, weathered, white hair and neatly trimmed beard, average height, walked with a limp. He could have been any old man ever, but there was a lengthy scar that ran from his eye to his chin. Perfect. I'm trusting you, son. This is all we have. The other generals, they don't believe in So too much. They think he's too young, too hot-headed. They're just waiting for him to mess up so they can swoop in and take over. We don't work like that. Your honor is everything. You've pledged yourself to him, and that word means more than your life. Just as I have pledged myself to Lord Ryobe and would gladly die for him, even now. Yes, father. A samurai without his honor is nothing. All of these men just waiting for the opportunity to betray their masters is disgusting. They're no better than filthy animals. The man was old school. Saika admired that. It would be a pity to have to kill him. Men with ideals like him were a dying breed. Now it was all about who could stab the most backs on their rise to power. The old man sat down and poured himself some tea. He turned, noticing Saika sitting in the corner of the room. "Hmm? What's this?" Saika feigned surprise. "I'm sorry, my lord. I don't know what you... The tea. It's cold. Fetch me a new pot, would you?" Yes, my lord. My deepest apologies." Saika grabbed the tray with the cups and left the room as quickly as she had entered. She had heard what she needed anyway. It was time to give Lord Bito a visit.
"Noboru-chan."
Bito Noboru, head of the Bito clan, threw his teacup into the air in shock. Saika tried to hide her smile as the drink landed on top of his head and began to slowly drip to the ground.
"Mother of... I thought we had discussions about how you weren't supposed to sneak up on me anymore. My heart is weak, you know."
"I know, but I never agreed during any of those discussions." Noboru frowned and wiped some of the spilled tea from his arm and face. "To what do I owe this pleasure?" Saika poured both herself and Noboru another cup of tea and sat down in front of him. He was alone in his bedchamber, getting ready to sleep. "How have you been?" she asked. His skin was pale and he looked tired. He was almost half the man she had known years ago.
"I'm not dead yet," he replied. "No thanks to you." "If I wanted you dead, I'd hardly announce myself first now, would I?"
"No, knowing you, you actually would."
"You wound me."
"You're looking well."
"You're not."
Saika had first met Noboru as a precocious young man, ready to take on the world at any cost. Their affair had been brief and violent, and if she were entirely honest, one of the happier periods of her tumultuous life. Noboru was a good man, to the very bottom of his soul. But on top of that, he had been exceedingly handsome in his youth, extraordinarily brave and supremely mischievous. A rogue who knew how to have fun, but also stuck to his word no matter what. She might have called it love at first sight, if such a thing could ever happen for her. Sadly, it was not meant to be, but they had remained friendly over the long years that passed. Now, looking at him, she wasn't sure how much longer he had. Time was an evil mistress.
"I'll cut to the chase," she spoke again. "Lord Kuroda needs your army. They're attacking the Yashiro."
Noboru swallowed his tea and slowly put the cup down.
"I see.
How many men can you bring?"
"How many do you need?"
"All of them." Noboru leant back and gave a small laugh. "May I ask why now of all times he has decided to press forth with the Yashiro? They haven't bothered us for quite some time now. Not since they took his daughter, Ayane. We've received word that Lord Ryobe's daughter is getting married to Lord Itami's son. Combined, the two clans present quite the threat, especially when you take into consideration the Itami's close relationship with the Arai. We've also received word that the Yashiro are planning an attack on the Wada, further north. I've seen it myself. Their men are on the move. The south is there, ready for the taking."
Noboru considered her for a moment. The fire that had once lit up his eyes so brightly was now extinguished. He was old. He was sick. He was tired. It almost broke her heart.
"And what of my daughter? Who's to say that the moment we attack they won't just kill her?"
"They've held her captive for over a year now. They don't want to risk what might happen if they did that."
"They might feel more urgency once the wolves are at the back door."
"Don't worry. I have something in mind. We'll get your daughter back. That I promise. Take it as a sign of good faith, an acknowledgement of the strong personal pain you have been through to keep your alliance with the Kuroda alive. That has not been forgotten." In truth, Mitsuhide had said nothing at all about Ayane. In fact, Saika doubted he even remembered her at all at this point.
But Noboru held a special place in Saika's heart, even to this day, and returning his daughter to him was the least she could do. A sick old man deserved to see his child one last time before he died. Then let me be honest with you. Our forces have diminished quite a bit recently. I'll provide you with what I can, but with the fighting in the east, we've had an influx of ruffians and criminals and refugees. People are trying to reach the capital, as though that will somehow miraculously save them. I have gangs of thieves attacking our merchants and pillaging our farms. Just last week, we had some Togawa men storm one of our villages. They killed everyone and then burnt it to the ground. Everything gone. Togawa? They bore the Togawa crest, abandoned their commander and tried to escape through our lands, and decided they'd have some fun along the way. Did you send word to Lord Diosuke that one of his units was causing trouble in your territory? I sent him their heads. What did he say? Thanks for saving me the trouble, I believe was the official reply. Noboru gave another small laugh. I lost an entire village, a year's worth of crops, not to mention a large number of men to deal with them, and all we got was a thanks. If the Bitō-ruled Misen province were to fall, it was a slippery slope to both the Kuroda lands and the capital. They couldn't allow that to happen, on either count. Perhaps it was time to visit the Shiroyama and discuss a more detailed alliance. Mitsuhide was married to Shiroyama Daisuke's half-sister, although he never saw her. He had shuffled her off to some distant castle for her own safety. Her brother Daisuke, although young, was the current clan leader and one of the greatest samurai the land had ever known. A more concrete alliance between the Kuroda, Bito, and Shiroyama clans would not only consolidate all the land south of the capital, but would present a fearsome front to all who might oppose it. She would have to bring it up once the upcoming battle was dealt with. So, how soon do you need us? Noboru brought Saika back from her thoughts. He looked weary and ready for bed. Make preparations in the morning. We need you as soon as possible. And you say that you're going to get my daughter back? Yes. Then I'll see you in a few days. It was nice seeing you again, Saika. You haven't aged a day. He politely nodded and retired to bed, leaving Saika to see herself out. Don't want to wait to find out what happens next? Head over to taleofyashima.com for new installments posted every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. You can also join our Patreon for early access to chapters before they're released to the public, and exclusive bonus stories you won't find anywhere else. Head over to taleofyashima.com now.